Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audiblepodcast.com/crush. Oh, yeah. Welcome to another installment of Innovation Crush.
That's how you intro it?
That's today.
That's, oh, okay.
It was an inspired
for
moment.
For me?
For you.
That's good.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Innovation
Welcome
Crush.
Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back, everybody.
Innovation.
It's going to be a soul tree show.
We're going to innovate.
We're
going to also crush it.
So I'm going to tell you who that other voice was in a second, but my name is Chris Denson. You've all hopefully tuned into the show at one point or another, where we talk to a lot of innovators, smart and creative people out in the world making amazing things happen. And today, the bus does not stop here. You see how I did that?
I see exactly.
Toby Turner, say hello.
Hello. You talk to smart people and also Toby Turner.
And Toby Turner. The smartest of them all. So let's just do a little bit of 101. Mm-hmm. Kind of give the audience a little taste of who Toby Turner and Tobuscus and One and the Same are.
I'm hearing my voice right now and it just sounds so good. Oh man, you guys don't even know listening. I mean, yes, you do.
I'm actually going to stop talking really and then you can just do the whole thing with, you, with yourself.
So I started on YouTube, like 7 years ago, long freaky time ago, because a friend of mine and we were kind of competing to get 1 million views. I made a video that was pouring Coke on raw pork makes worms come out of it, which is not true. But I made a video that I put rice on the pork, and it was horrible. Like I edited, I cut to black. It was like after 15 minutes, I cut to black, and then it shows this pork with like rice on it, and it was like, oh, gross! And it got 1 million views, and I'm like, I should do hopefully something that is not like lying and and. that's how I started.
So that was the start.
That was the beginning.
So kind of walk us through the growth, right? Because you do that video and then you go, I'm maybe on to something, you know. And how did you start to own your presence on
wow.
YouTube?
Wow. I mean, I feel like once people were allowed to play video games and capture it and talk over the, like, that was kind of a dream of mine. But I did it and I was, I would kind of get in trouble in the early days because, you know, at that point, it was seen as copyright infringement. Of course.
Yeah.
And so I kind of got almost banned, but they turned it over and I stopped doing that. I did only stuff that was, you know, not infringing. But then I started making my own music. But then I was contacted by Machinima, which is one of the YouTube big
shout out to networks. Machinima.
Shout out, represent. And then they at that point they had allowed people to post commentary of video games. And I was like, great, I'm just gonna freaking play video games and talk over them, which is what I used to do when I played with my brother. Yeah.
Did that feel like empowering to you? Because I feel like, you know, I worked at Machinima and one of the best stories and the goosebumps moments I always got were guys like you who had an interest and hadn't yet found a way
didn't
to
exist.
Capital. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
So
it was huge.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then
I was living with my girlfriend at the time, and she wanted to play video games just for fun, and she was like, "Oh, you're just wasting your time, and like, you know, you need to be an adult." I'm like, "Nah, I'm going to turn it into a job now." So then I started.
Gotcha.
It was great. So I scheduled myself, and I played video games and talked over it, and you know, said a lot of stupid stuff. Some stuff I thought was very funny, mostly stupid. And then posted quantity over quality. I posted a ton of freaking videos. Some of them took off. And consistency was just kind of the thing that people knew every day they could come back and like, you know, maybe you'd be funny or at least you'd
definitely be there. Now, when did you know, like, aside from the 1 million views on the Coke and worms and pork stuff, like that's
I definitely did not know it at that point. I was
exactly.
Like, this is a weird idea.
Right, but at one point you go like, oh shit, I'm kind of onto something. Like, people are actually paying attention.
I never had a moment where I was like, oh, this is going to be my job until I guess... Like, I would check my views every day, and then at some point, I was getting, like, 10,000 views a day. I'm like, that's, like, $10, $10 to $20, something, a day. And I'm like, that's kind of cool, like, versus, you know, I mean, it's not a real, like, enough, really, but, like, if I could keep building at that point, I was like, all right, I'm going to focus everything on building that, growing from that point. Eventually I started getting, like, 100,000 and 200,000, and at that point, that's fine. Like, if you get 100,000 views a day, that's great. That's, like, if they're monetized, you're not infringing stuff, and then you're banned, and you go to jail, which I actually got banned from a lot of websites,
did
like eBay.
Jail?
I didn't go to jail.
Not jail.
No. Prison, I think it's called. Anyways, whatever. Once I started getting, you know, once I noticed, like, I was at 10 to 20,000 a day, and I was like, I've barely, I could play freaking video games forever. And if it, you know, if I stayed at 20 to, like, you know, 50 a day, that was enough for me, because I kind of came from, I don't need a lot, you know?
Yeah.
But then I was like, I want to get into music. I started out actually, like, most of my songs, I recorded a lot of songs. I still have never posted them ever.
Because can we get an exclusive?
I go to college for the financial aid. Direct deposits, how I'd like to be paid.
That was like, thank everybody. Is everybody? These two line songs, these are great.
No, it's full. I don't want to impress you too much, but it's pretty fantastic.
No, I think where I came into your career, or came into knowing you, was kind of in the literal trailers arena.
I just posted one today, actually, Fallout 4, which I love. So, but that, have you played? You play a lot of games?
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I have a family.
Okay. See, yeah. Well, so I was like, I'm an adult, and I stopped. And then I was like, wait, games are always going to be freaking fun.
I buy them all the time, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, I buy them. I'm like, I will play that.
Exactly, exactly.
And then it's, like, not relevant anymore. I'm like, too late.
Too late. I can't even talk about it.
Nobody cares about it. But so Fallout 4, the trailer just came out last week. I posted a I don't know when this goes up.
It'll go up soon, yeah.
Cool.
They'll know.
Because I record stuff and I keep it and I never post until months later.
It lasts forever.
For me. I entertain myself. But no, the Fallout 4 trailer was just awesome, and I love Bethesda stuff since their Daggerfall days, which is like the 90s. I played like some of their earliest games.
Yeah.
Super buggy, but it was really fun. You could, like, steal from people and murder people, and there was boobs. So I was like, I'm going to play this game. I was like,
it's just like real life.
It's like 12. Just like real life. There are, yeah. So all that stuff's there. I'm excited about freaking Fallout 4. I loved Skyrim also.
So fast forward to today, right? Like, you're, you know, according to Wikipedia, you've crossed the 15 million subscriber mark.
Oh, nuh-uh, when? Yeah, really?
According to Wikipedia, today. And you're in the billion views club, so.
3 billion, that part I know.
There we go, 3 billion. And, you know, I think about, like, this idea of you being able to go from where you were, you know, like I said, kind of almost going to jail for copyright infringement, to now sort of owning
and selling
this,
textbooks.
And selling, were you selling textbooks?
On half.com. It was amazing. I was selling textbooks, like, a previous edition in the new edition category. And in the description, I would say, this is not the new edition, but it's very similar. Calculus has not changed in 6 months. Same three authors. And I would sell it for $50. And people were like, oh, thank you, because the new textbooks were $150.
Right.
They're like, thank you, you saved me $100. And it's basically the same thing. I'm like, you're welcome. All positive feedback. But then after I sold them $50, then I would buy it for $1 off Amazon. 99 cents. And then people were like, well, thank you. All positive feedback. I got banned eventually, but I was selling like hundreds of textbooks a day, and it was like $50 profit each one. I was like, oh, this is not fun at all,
well,
but
funny
it paid
that you
for my college.
That, I think it's funny that you mentioned it, because I think that, like, the innovator's dilemma, right? Like, when you're finding a new way to do stuff and it's clever and, you know, it's smart, it's a different way of thinking of how people can do business and gain audiences. Like,
that's when you go to jail.
Right, exactly. But it is. It's like these borderline, like, is this right? Is this ethical? Or is it, you know, has it been done before? Mm-hmm. And then people don't know what to do about it, right? Like, if, you know, you think about how brands, especially Machinima, right? Like, the video game publishers did not want that to happen.
Yep.
And then eventually they go, like, you know what? This is the best thing that could have happened for us. And you were at the, you know, the beginning of that.
I was very, very fortunate that it happened, like, at the same time that I panicked and had nothing to do at all. And I was like, oh, and I had just graduated college. But I was like, I don't want to work in that stuff. I want to, like, play video games and, you know, make jokes. And I lucked out. We live in a cool time.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. So let's talk about this video game you just launched.
Mm-hmm.
With wizards and zombies and all of Tobuscus as part of the experience.
It's such a long story, dude. We raised money on Indiegogo, which is like Kickstarter but indie with more go-go's, and we raised like 600,000+, a lot. But, you know, a lot of, like, almost half of that or a third of that went towards sending people cool stuff, you know, mailing it and printing all it, and hiring people to manage the campaign or whatever. But then the rest of it went to making the game, and it was just, you know, like, the company that made it had, you know, gone a couple different directions in certain areas, and I would kind of come in and try to, you know, backtrack, and ended up it took a year and a half. We and this always happens, but they were like, oh, it'll take us 2 months. Every game developer's like, it'll take us 2 months, and then they get into it, and then you're like, oh, there's a lot of stuff in here and anything about. But it took a year and a half, which I feel like most of my audience was like, oh, you kind of scammed us and stole that money, huh? But eventually, it came out. I love it. It's a lot of fun. We went way over freaking budget, but it's amazing. It's like the most fun I've ever had on a freaking iOS game, and like. It's because I know what's fun. I know what sucks. And I'm like, this part sucks. Fix it or make fun of it until it's, you know, where we really liked it.
Yeah. And I think that happens with a lot. Like, when people have ideas and they're like, oh, cool. Like, all we got to do is, like, it's this oversimplification, yeah. Especially when it's a creative endeavor and it's someone's vision and you've got a team of people shepherding that vision along.
Right.
What were some of the hurdles that you faced, like, you know, kind of specifically along the way? Like,
for example, like, it's a game where you fight zombies. So obviously you're like, okay, cool. We want to have zombies. So the developers are like, okay, we want to have zombies that are easy, zombies that get a little harder as you go, and then, you know, reasons for you to make the game difficult, but not too difficult,
right.
You know. So they would add in these types of wizards based on like maybe programming style or stuff that they were interested in before. Like, this is one wizard, he casts a spell just to blow your spell off your quick bar, and you have to put spells on your quick bar to use them. So he would knock the spell off so you couldn't use it, but you don't see that he did that sometimes. And you're like, well, why is my spell not working? And it's just frustrating.
Right.
But it's, you know, it was a cool little mechanic, but it's after I saw that, I'm like, well, I need to call attention to this. So I made the main wizard, the wizard of darkness, the wizard of whiteness. Then there's like these, the prophet. Like,
sounds racial.
It is very racial. Yeah. So and the character makes fun of me. It's like, wizard of whiteness. And but so the wizard's like,
the white wizard.
The white wizard, yes. So he's talking. And he's like, the wind wizards just basically blow your spells off your quick bar. They're just annoying more than anything. And then, like, they don't do anything to hurt you.
Right.
It just pisses you off. You're like, why? So I eventually made fun of them, and it turned it into a joke.
I'm going to get a couple pictures, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah. Let's do.
So, yeah. No, I mean, it's amazing with the, you know, with that. And so how's the game been doing so far? I mean, I know when our mutual
better
friend Davin told me about it, it was like out of the gate, like gangbusters.
Yeah.
And, you know, just doing tremendous. But kind of walk us through the success of it.
I did a couple things to try to make it to make people want to raid it and share it inside the game, to make it kind of meta. There's this this is the prophet who just tries to sell you stuff. He doesn't actually predict your future. He's the prophet, but it's, you know. Anyway, so there's this part, like, after the level, like where he basically tells you in a funny way to rate the game. So he's like, I'm having vision. I predict you're going to see gray box, which is going to ask you for opinion. Your action in this moment will determine the fate of my entire world, and more important, business. May your opinion be the right one. And then it asks you what you think of the game. So everyone's like, that's hilarious, like, right off that joke, and they rate it. And I think that might be the reason we got so many ratings, because, like, even though I have a big audience, like, I usually don't rate stuff.
Right.
And most people, I think, don't. But, you know, if you tie it in with a joke and you make it very, you know, it refers to itself and it makes fun of itself, and then people, I feel like, are receptive.
Well, it's like creating relevancy. Like, you know, nobody wants to do a task, right?
Yeah.
They want to
Yeah,
part of the
but it becomes a mission. It becomes like, save the world of the game. And it's true, because, like, the more successful the game is, the more games we can make.
That's great. And so when you think about this journey of you as a, you know, hey, I just want to play games and be silly and have fun, to actually being a business person, right, and leading, like...
I suck at business person.
Yeah, what's the balance for you, though, you know, to be able to manage those two sides of yourself?
They're totally separate. So I'll be in the mood to just be funny and joke around, or I'll be in the mood to, like, focus on what, like, putting the pieces in order, so I know I can sit down later and then be funny for 8 hours or whatever. I try to, you know, organize it like that, but, you know, I don't know. I'm new to this still. It's fun, but it's different. We have another game that's coming out, which kind of does the same. It's a free game that comes out next week, but it has a song in it that tells enables you to tell your friends to download it and your enemies and people you don't know. If you find a phone, download the game onto it because it's free before you report it to Lost and Found. It's so silly, but it's fun.
Now, when I watch a lot of your content and even right now, like you're rapid fire, like super fast paced.
I get bored really fast.
I think it also like it kind of speaks to the audience sort of consumption, right?
I'm a child. and the kids these days, like, you know, of course, because they're always like, oh, anything else, like you can instantly just navigate away and be entertained instantly. So like in life, especially, you know, and I feel like using that to teach or using that to do something worthwhile is kind of like the way we have to. I have a song that teaches you how to play guitar sort of. Mm. And it's like it's a song that the words of the song are the chords. So it's like, and I play the chords as I sing them. So A, I can see your D. A, I can see your D. F, you see A minor with double Ds. Don't F A minor. It's messed up, but it teaches you.
Don't F A minor.
Don't F A minor. Gentlemen. That's a good lesson. Also, when you
first time it's been said on Innovation Course, just so you know. I think,
really?
Yeah, no.
I heard different.
That's why I came on the show.
But no, it's like, you know, just something that's edgy. But in that case, if you see the chords that are being played, you see what's happening. You learn this like kind of messed up song you tie in your head with like how to play the chords. So if you actually know how to play those chords, you then know what those chords are called. Like I never kind of knew that before. I have another one that's for piano, like teaching you like scales of the piano. But like making it funny and a little edgy is kind of my favorite.
No, I think that's how things stick, right?
You know,
and that's why
I can't believe you just said that.
Well, I mean, even on this show, like that's why I wanted to infuse humor into it. And there's been like a ton of touchy sentences and phrases that have come up. So be sure to everybody check those out and listen to every show to try to find them. Just a reminder that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is offering you, the listener, that's you, yeah, you in the weird shirt, a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to www.audiblepodcast.com/crush and choose from over 180,000 audio programs, download a title free, and start listening. It's literally that easy. And people always use literally wrong, but this time it's right. It's literally that easy. You work a lot with brands, and what's that like? Because, you know, I've worked on the other side where I'm kind of representing the brand in a sense, and I'm also working on the side of the creator. But there's always like this gray area or wide divide, and I'm curious as to from a creator standpoint, how do you approach brands and what they want to do with you and what you want to do and how you, you know, manage the audience versus the
what they want. Well, I mean, for me, it kind of started when I was in school, like when I had to do a project and I would have to, include relevant information in my report or whatever, and I would want to make jokes because I would want the teacher to laugh, you know. I don't want them to just be like, oh, yeah, I get it, blah, 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 history, whatever. But I definitely failed a couple papers like back in school because I was trying to make jokes and they wouldn't get it. But I finally found a kind of a balance, and I use that all the time. So when I go and let's say I'm making a video for like Hot Pockets or whatever,
Hot Pocket.
Yeah. So then I want to, you know, promote the things that they say while making fun of the things they say. But it's the character, because he's forced into an awkward position,
right?
And it's like he's against his will doing this thing. Like, and I lucked out because I feel like they're like, oh yeah, you know your audience. I'm like, yeah, I know my audience, right. And so they trust me to you know convey the message in a good way for them in the end. But I think it's the brands that are the smartest are the ones that allow you to make fun of them or they make fun of themselves, because why not? Like, it's fun. And,
right.
And, you know, they're still getting your brand, and it sticks in your head more if it's a little edgy, right? Dude, we're just in a freaking awesome time.
No, and I think about this, you know, when you think about audiences, I think there's also a misconception of what a YouTube audience is and the power of that audience and so on and so forth. And I went to VidCon for the first time last year.
Nice.
And even coming from Machinima, which is, you know, a giant YouTube network, and we always talked about like, oh, we have the best audience ever, which it was true in a lot of senses. But until I see like stampedes of 15-year-olds like going up a down escalator to get a glimpse of of PewDiePie or, you know, or any of these guys, it kind of puts it in perspective. So I want the audience to really understand, like, what the YouTube audience, my audience to understand what the YouTube audience is like for you, like how you interact with them and what that relationship is like.
Well, I think a lot of it is the YouTube audience is part of the reason that the 15-year-olds are like running up is because they just have less of a filter and they're less afraid. But like when you look at the analytics, a lot of times it's not as it's not just the younger people. Right. It's just that the old people that are older are, and I mean like me, like I never would run up to anybody no matter like how awesome I was, like, oh, this is the best person that, you know, because I would kind of chill.
Wait
out
till you
at
see me on
point.
The street after this interview. all change.
I can't be. But no, yeah, like I, you know, I would like kids, because they're just like, yeah, this is the thing to. That we're being, but you know, like sometimes I'll have adults come up to me and they don't really know how to, so they'll be like, oh, my daughter like loves your stuff, like, oh, cool. And then like her husband would come up to me like, we don't have a daughter. I see she's watching your videos at 4 a.m. before I go to work every morning, and yeah, like that kind of stuff, which is
wow,
which is, you know, weird to think about.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But like they don't want to, you know, they don't want to be rude, and they, you know, and kids are stupid. They're stupid stuff.
And then I also think you know, this idea, you know, from an entrepreneurial standpoint, you being able to own that audience even more so than I would even say like are you a Nike, right? If Nike says, hey, go do this, like they might do it, where, you know, I think when you say, hey, I'm going to launch a game, I need you guys support.
Yes.
And
yes.
You know, you blow a goal, like,
totally. It's cool because I mean they're with you, they're, you know, they've been with you, and they've watched like you come from whatever you came from, and like they're excited because it's real. It's not, you know, it's not, you're not being paid, I mean, unless you hopefully you are, but like, you know, it's like you're actually going through this journey. Like for me, these games are expensive, but like so we have a free game that's coming out, I'm like, so could you guys all download this onto every iOS device you have, because it's expensive and I'm love to just be able to make more of this stuff, and I know, like, I want to make stuff that I think is good,
right?
And I just, you know, I like my sense of humor.
But you also make a decent living, and I think a lot of times, because we've had a guy on who's his title was Adam Chapnick. He's the evangelist for Indiegogo, right? And
oh, cool.
There's this divide between, you know, if Spike Lee gets on a crowdfunding platform, people are like, go fuck yourself, Spike Lee. You have enough money to make this thing, right? What's the difference between your audience and a Spike Lee audience?
I don't think there is that much of it. I think okay, let's say that, I mean, I see what you're saying, but I think, like, games are very expensive, but making a movie is expensive. So you see Spike Lee, and you're like, oh, he's already making movies. I'm sure someone else is going to be able to fund this or whatever. I think it's doing something different, maybe, that you know they don't have experience with. But, you know, Spike Lee, the like people that are already successful in traditional media are more successful with the crowdfunding anyways.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because I see what you're saying. I feel like, well, you're rich. You do it. You fund. But it's like, it's a risk. It's a big risk. And these things are expensive. So the game costs what, $640 plus $200 something? That's like $1 million for a freaking iOS game. That's insane. So like, I would never be able to afford that, of course. But like, even if I was, like, you wouldn't want to be like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just see if this works. Why not?
Right.
$1 million. It's like, if people are interested and they get behind what you believe in, and you're like a, you know, passionate person, you're like, this is going to be freaking awesome. You guys want to be a part of it? Then, you know, that's kind of neat. I also haven't looked into crowdfunding. I feel like it was a thing that maybe will go away at some point, but I
don't know. I mean, I genuinely feel like people want to help people make cool
exactly,
stuff, right?
Exactly.
Like, or help them do things, or, you know, if you look at like other platforms across the world where it's like, oh, I want to help this guy farm, you know, in Indonesia.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so if you make it cool and you're like, show how passionate you are.
Which should be an idea for your next game.
I mean,
by
it's already
Indonesian
that. It's
farming
already
game.
Already just, registered.
Yeah.
Already registered. My next game is about, there's so many things. This acronym, it's so fun. You make up acronyms. But like, each game is so expensive and I have no clue how to monetize this stuff. So the smartest thing is to find a company that does that and monetizes it.
Right.
And then in that case, it's probably going to be cheaper to make. And, you know, that's kind of our...
Well, also easier on you, right? Like, you can still continue to do what you do best. Like,
yeah, and
when
you don't have to worry about starting that, you know, figuring out which place to start. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so speaking like the spirit of collaboration, you know, I think in sort of the digital creative community, there's a lot more collaboration that happens across channels, across creators. And I would assume just like, at the, you know, from the beginning of your career or in even currently, like, how do you approach... It's a career. career, man. It's not a job. No, but how do you approach this idea of collaboration and who do you work with and, like, you know, what this sort of collaborative opportunity to create mutual wins?
Dude, I love what you're saying. I'm the worst at collabs. I've never initiated a collab ever, and it's dumb. But, like, what I always feel bad about asking for help, and you know, but when my friends are like, hey, you want to be in a video? I'm like, yeah, of course. And I'll tweet it, I'll promote it, of course. If it's, you know, good, I just want people to laugh. But, like, for me, doing a collab, the only times I've ever done a collab is if Axe is like, hey, you want to do a video and do you have anybody that you want to bring in? I'm like, yeah, I'll find somebody. And they're like, oh, cool. And then we go together. We all get together. We should do this more often. But, like, a lot of the people that do what I do, they're so busy, they don't ever freaking do anything. And we suck at scheduling because we're always just focused on whatever the most important thing is. And, like, really what the most important thing, like, you know, that's why I need somebody to schedule me by force.
As you look to your right. Speaking of collaborations, you appeared in, let's see, I'm like a lawyer. It says here, is this true? You appeared in the series Fart, Retarded Policeman.
Oh, yep, yep. I actually just watched that
a couple
weeks ago again. I don't know why, but it's funny. So they contacted me. Greg's very good about Mediocre Films, was very good about, you know, bringing people in, of course, because that makes sense. At this point, when I contact my friends, like, I'm like, hey, do you guys want to be in a short with me and Arnold Schwarzenegger about Terminator? They're like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. How much does it pay? I'm like, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. It doesn't pay, but you get to be a Terminator. Like, oh, yeah, I'm kind of busy. I got stuff to do. It's freaking Arnold. So, like, I don't care. I just want to be in cool stuff. But I get it, you know, because they're so busy. And they literally,
sure,
these people support their friends and their family. And so, like, their time is just so spread so thin. But it's harder now to get collabs because everybody knows that there's, you know, money in it.
Well, when I saw, like, Fart Retarded Policeman, I was like, it just kind of led me down this path of, like, political correctness.
I mean, I didn't make the
series.
Not that
you didn't make it. And the series was actually decent. It wasn't, like, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be, especially the name. And
how did you find that? Was that the only one you watched?
No, you know what's funny? On your Wikipedia page, there's a, has filmography. Oh, that is listed there. And that was the one that jumped out. It was all.
Toby thinks autistic people are retarded, and so he joined the cause against that.
But I feel like the rules, right, are a little bit more loose in the digital arena, right, as far as, like, what people expect from political, correctness and social responsibility and so on and so forth.
Yep.
Does that ever come into play in the stuff that you do or create?
Yes, but he was a friend of mine who has Down syndrome. He's not autistic, but so he's just, like, really nice dude. He actually approached me. He was like, hey, be in the show. I'm like, and I watched it. I'm like, yeah, but, like, I don't know. Like, what do you, who are you to decide the, you know, because he loves it and he's a smart dude. And he's a good guy. But, like, in terms of being in a thing that is offensive in a, it's weird. There's a line, you know, I haven't done anything I didn't think was cool. I just want to do stuff that that is cool and doesn't, like, you know, hurt anybody. And but in terms of sponsorships, like, there are companies, and that's where I draw the line, where a company does shady, weird stuff. If I can tell that what they're doing is weird, so I, like, kind of look into them, and I'm like, in the beginning, I didn't. In the beginning, I was just like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm broke. I need help. I need rent or whatever. And so, like, a company would approach me like, hey, say this, this, this. And I'm like, okay, but I'm going to make it funny. And then I've never, like, gone against what I ended up thinking was funny. But, you know, I would promote companies and I would look them up later. And I'm like, yeah, they're charging too much for this. This is not fair.
Right.
And so, like, now I kind of.
So the ethics of it all, like, you kind of do your due diligence on.
Now,
like,
I do. In the beginning, I didn't realize kind of what there was. And also, I didn't have as much. Now I have more of, I feel like, more responsibility to do that. And I feel like we also have kind of responsibility to say stuff that's intelligent and pushes the world in a good way.
Yep.
And in a good place. It is. It's interesting.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So when I also read your bio, again, on the business side of Toby Turner, is this idea of a marketer, a viral marketer, and
oh yeah, consult. I wrote all that's all a bunch of BS. I wrote all that in the beginning.
I wrote that to market myself.
Toby Turner is a professional. Yeah, exactly. He does all this professional stuff like adults do, and I left that there. It's been there for years. I haven't touched it.
But but you think about this idea of, like, viral marketing, especially when you work with brands and, like, we want this to go viral, and it's, like, such a buzzy word and. nobody really understands what it means. Can you kind of walk us through at least some of the rules you apply when you're like, oh, you are working with a brand, you want to see that campaign or that project be successful?
I just like to do stuff I haven't seen before, because then I feel like it's more likely to be pushed around. But if you have a video that's going to be 2 minutes, just trying to make people laugh as much as possible and say something that's a little risky, but not too offensive. And then if you do say something too offensive, then back it up. But like, you know, get people to that place where like, oh, I'm not sure about this, but I like it a lot. And then, you know, and I kind of every time I watch my video over and over until it goes up, if I have like a deadline, I'll watch it until I'm like, this doesn't suck. And then I'll put it out there. But I just have I'm strict, really horribly critical of myself and of everything. Which is great for me, but it's just you're never satisfied.
Yeah. I like there's a bunch of inside jokes here. It's like, I know exactly what you're talking about. I think it takes somebody like that. You know, one of the questions I just wrote down a joke, like, did you want to become the Puffy of digital media? Because, you know, but I interviewed the CEO of Revolt TV, and he, you know, obviously he's Puffy's right hand, and he goes, Puffy is beautifully unreasonable. Right, like his level of expectation on projects is like, A, you probably don't even understand his full vision. B, whatever he is asking you to do, you're like, okay, like, you know, you just have to kind of trust the vision.
Yeah, I mean, well, so I've gone through times when I've hired people that I was like, oh, this person's amazingly talented, and this person's my friend, and I like this person. I don't know if they're talented because they're my friend. And, like, I don't have the same expectations. But then I'm like, you're hired. Everybody needs a job. So I hired like 11 people. And I'm like,
you pulled an MC Hammer. That's what MC
is. That what it did?
That's how he went broke. I was like, I'm gonna pay everybody. I'm gonna help.
See, I'm the same way, and that's I knew that growing up. My mom was like, you're gonna be a little MC Hammer when you grow up. I'm like, shut up, mom. And then anyway, so I hired all my friends, and then I'm like, I don't really want to tell you guys to do anything because they're my friends. So eventually, they were all like, yeah, stop paying me. And I'm like, all right, fine. I feel like being unreasonable about what I expect. But that's just the limitation I put on myself. If it's a sort of, if I hire someone, they have to not be my friend because otherwise I'll never be, you know, I feel like I'm too nice. Do you have employees?
Yes.
I'm horrible boss. I'm too good. I'm nice. I'm like, oh yeah, thanks. You don't maybe don't have to do anything. Oh, great.
You leaving now?
Yeah.
Okay.
But then again, that's also just if they're my friend.
Right.
But if they're so people have to basically at this point step up and be like, hey, I'm doing this. I'm like, oh wow. Can I pay you?
Right. you did this impression of your mom. How would your mom actually describe you?
Oh, Tommy, you little MG. I mean, she knows. So I've always, she always wanted me to be a dentist.
She kind of sounds like Mr. Bill, just so you know.
Yeah, she is. My dad is actually named William, so that would be a Mr.
She's Mrs. Bill.
Yeah, but first name, though, not last name. William, Mr. Bill. But she, you know, she wanted me to be a doctor because it pay a lot. She's like, oh, you should be a dentist. You have nice teeth. I'm like, Mom, your voice is way lower pitch than that. But I also had braces, so you can't even say that me having nice teeth is a factor. Anyway, so I went to school to be a dentist, and then I didn't actually go. I kind of went. I was like,
never mind.
Yeah, I'm like, nah, never mind. And then I left. I switched my major. I ended up not even going to the dental school, but like that was the whole reason I picked my college, and I went through the whole program and then I was like, I'd rather just kind of wing it, and because I don't need a lot, I just want to make my friends laugh, I want to, you know, make funny stuff, get into music, and really, like, you don't need a lot. Like, if you can just chill and realize that everything's going to be fine, then you just do whatever your heart wants you to do, and then don't worry about making money.
Right.
As long as you're, you know, pursuing
it. Be mindful about it, but
yeah.
Just like...
Well, I have to be active about, like, so if you have a dream, you're like, yeah, that's where I'm going, and, like, do it because you care about it, not because, you know, you're scared of not doing anything.
I went through the same thing. Like, my mom was like, be an engineer or a doctor or a lawyer, and I actually got a degree from Michigan State as, an engineer, worked for Chrysler for a couple of years, and I was like, this is awful. But luckily, at the same time, when I went away.
It sounded like you said Ninjaneer, which would be pretty cool.
Ninjaneer. New channel. Kick ass engineer. Gotta give him a name, though. Blake Jones. Ninjaneer.
Blake Jones. Blake, would you like to do. No! He doesn't want to do anything. He just wants to slice and dice.
Speaking of names,
what are we talking about?
I have no idea. but I was thinking about this, like where you think about like hip hop names, you know, names of rappers and
MC.
Names of YouTube channels.
Okay,
there's kind of like this generational thing that happens where, you know, is PewDiePie CNET, like these names that kind of don't make any sense.
Yeah,
or they do in a very like under, like I know what a C banana is,
right?
But naturally. What is Tobuscus?
Well, see, mine, you know, obviously my name makes sense, but the other ones don't. But so all the good names are taken. Yeah, so then people will, you know, like CNET or whatever. They're just like, oh, I'm panicking, and but so Tobuscus, someone. Literally, I was in a play, a Greek play. Like, a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum, is what it's called. And my friend just randomly, this guy Lance, he just walked past me. He's like, "What's up, Tobuscus?" So I'm like, "Stolen!" And I just registered it, and I took it. And he's like, "Hey, hey!" He messaged me that day. He's like, "Hey, remember when I made up your channel name?" Like, yeah. That's mine. I trademarked it. You can't even say it out loud.
Is he still your friend?
No, he's me. He's dead. I killed him.
Dead.
No, he's awesome. I don't talk to him, but he's a cool guy. He's a cool guy. We actually breakdanced together back in the day.
Hmm.
One day.
It's a whole other line of questioning. I was just about to start wrapping up, but now I feel like I want to just see this. Now, so the show is called Innovation Crush, right? People who are crushing it.
Your show or mine?
Well, so far mine. Just don't steal
okay.
it.
It's, I won't,
the bus crush.
I don't ever steal
that?
Names. Maybe once.
Ruh-roh. What do you see out in the world right now that you're kind of crushing on? It could be cuisine, it could be content, it could be robots. I don't know. Like, what's out there that you're like, oh man, that is actually pretty effing awesome.
Wow. Studios that are functional. I don't know. I just want to. I want to be able to make music and I don't know. What do you mean?
Just something out there that's like,
really,
oh my gosh, that really impressed. Like, you know, sometimes, I don't know, you read a trade and you go like, oh wow, I had no idea that exists. Or
yeah,
they're 3D printing arms for kids.
Can I tell you?
Which is a true story.
We were in Sweden and they 3D printed my head and mounted it on a race car and raced it around a track. But... and I have that 3D printed head. So anyways, that at that point...
That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty sweet and terrifying. But yeah, I think the ability... I'm very happy to be making these games. Like, I want to make a couple games and apps that don't exist, because like I get very frustrated. So anything that leads to the people that are, you know, the creatives being able to make tools to help themselves be creative, that's what I'm into. That's not anywhere near what you're asking.
No, that was the, hey, everybody has a different, now the next one is going to be even harder.
Oh,
just so you know.
Great.
It's a fill in the blank though, so it's kind of easier.
Okay.
Innovation to me is,
okay, go on,
that's it, that's, you know, you fill in the blank.
Where's the blank? Where's the blank at?
where's a cricket? Is there a cricket man?
Is doing figuring out how to dreaming and making that happen.
Dreaming.
Son of a,
I pulled it out. I pulled dreaming.
I Googled the question and I read out what I Googled.
Okay, Google.
Sponsor. Google. Sponsor.net.com. Can you do that?
So where can people find you? Where do they go on the interwebs to find them some Tobuscus?
Well, Google Tobuscus. YouTube.com/Tobuscus or Toby Turner or Toby Games. I don't know why. Or Facebook/Tobuscus. Dude, there's too many, you know?
Yeah, we'll find you.
Find me. You. Please, I'm right there waiting. I'll be waiting with my dogs. I have two now.
Uh-oh.
Yep. They kill people.
Killer dogs. Never That's a great been. Way to end this show.
Yep.
So thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another installment of Innovation Crush. That was Toby Turner. And I'm Chris Denson, and we will talk to you next time. Thank you.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.